So we're continuing Chaitanya Bhagavat classes, Madhya Kanda, chapter 9. And this is the 21 hours of Mahaprakash ecstasy of Lord Chaitanya Srivas Thakur's house. And devotees have been worshipping the Lord and seeing the Lord, seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Vaikunthanath, the Lord of Vaikuntha. And as the verses were describing, Lord Chaitanya was manifesting his Mahaprakash Aishwarya. He was manifesting so much Aishwarya. So they were worshipping him in kind. All kinds of chamaras and betel nuts and other such things. So Mahaprabhu, he has asked, although all the devotees are assembled with him at Srivas Thakur's house, he has requested the devotees to go collect Kolavecha Sridhar. I want to see him. He should join us. And I want him to see me in this particular mode, in this Vaikuntha mood. Because he only knows me as his customer for his banana leaves. And he knows me as a naughty boy, Nimai Pandit, who sometimes gives him a hard time and even sometimes breaks into his banana patch at night and steals his bananas disguised underneath a chutter, pretending to be a bull with a couple of friends. So now he's going to see that same Nimai, that same child. He's going to see him as Vaikunthanath, with all the opulence and all the Aishwarya. So he should see this. So then the devotees, naturally, the next thought is, well, who is this Sridhar? He is a character being introduced here into this drama or Leela of Lord Chaitanya. So then Vrindavan Das Thakur, he describes the identity of Srivas. And this is where we continue now. Chari Prahara Ratri Nidra Nahi Krishnanam Sarva Ratri Haribale Dirgala Avhane. Sridhar passed the entire night without sleep while loudly chanting the names of Krishna and Hari. So we're hearing more of the extraordinary qualities and characteristics Vishnu Bhaktera Pariksha. In the introduction to this section of verses, Vrindavan Das Thakur uses the phrase Vishnu Bhaktera Pariksha. If you want to examine what are the characteristics or guna or lakshan of the Vishnu Bhakta, then these are the characteristics. First thing is, if he's married, as Kolavesha Sridhar is, if he's married, 50% of his income, of daily income, whatever he earns in one day, he spends in the worship of his ishta. The ishta of Kolavesha is Ganga Devi, and the other 50% he spent for family maintenance. So this is an exemplary quality of his devotion. And a second exemplary quality of his life and devotion is Mahasatyavad, which we mentioned in class, was from here. That his vow of truth was such a great vow of truth that it was only comparable to Yudhisthira, who is one of the great three Haridasas in Bhagavad Puran. In the 18,000 verses of Bhagavad Puran, only three devotees are given this appellation or this title of Haridas. Many devotees are described there, of course. Vasudeva and Devaki and Dhruva and Prahlad and so many. But only three of those many, many devotees described in the page of the Srimad Bhagavatam are given this title, Haridas. One is Uddhav, one is Yudhisthira, and the other is Giriraj Dharanaki. And this is in Gopi Geet, where the Radharani is speaking the glories of Giriraj, and she says, Haridas Varya. Varya means exceptional, or the best of, or the greatest. So of the three Haridases, Giridhari is considered the biggest servant. He certainly is the biggest in size. And moreover, he's the biggest in service. He does the most variety of service because he serves the topmost form of Bhagavan, Vrindavan Sri Krishna. And he serves Krishna in all his leelas, in all his rasas. So that distinguishes him as the best. Uddhav is a servant of Krishna. So he's also Haridas, like Giriraj. But Uddhav is serving in Dasyabhav. Dasyabhav, Sakyabhav, with a touch of Atsalya. And his service to Bhagavan is mostly Vasudev Krishna, Seva in Mathura and Dwarka, although he ventures into Vrindavan to get a glimpse of Gopi Prema. during Brahmargit. And so that's why he's in a little bit lower category. Then Yudhisthira is also one of the Pandavas, a great devotee of the Lord. But again, he is a devotee of Vasudeva or Vaikunthanath, the Lord in his Vaikuntha feature, Chaturbhuj Krishna, Dwarka Krishna. So his the feature of the Lord whom he worships, his Ishtadev, is it's all transcendental, all Vishnu Tattva, but it's considered a lesser manifestation of the Absolute, so a lower form of Godhead, if you will. And then he's only serving, and he only serves in Dasya, and more like Dasya and Vatsalya, with some friendship, very official friendship. But Haridas Giriraj, he's serving Madhurya Leela. Most intimate pastimes of Krishna take place in the caves. Radha and Krishna have the most conjugal rati vilas in the caves of Govardhan, the highest pitch of Madhurya Leela. Well, to speak of serving the cows and coward boys in Sakiras, Vrindavan Sakiras, not Vaikuntha Sakiras. There's some Sakiras in Vaikuntha, but it's called Gaurava, not Vishramba. So, this is the some of the qualities with such a great truthful person. And then this verse, it says that yesterday we heard that although this great devotee, Kulavesha, is living in Navadvip, living amongst all the other devotees, all the other pundits and Brahmins, no one actually recognized him. He was unknown. Just like we're sitting here and there's so many devotees in this temple, maybe 150 devotees. And there's this Bhakta and this Krishna and that, the different devotees. But no one may know that this devotee sitting next to me may be a great devotee, maybe a great devotee of the Lord, internally extremely surrendered. And this is a Swarup Lakshana of a Bhakta. It's a degree of his internal surrender. Externally, oh, he's Grihastha, or he's a Brahmachari, Sannyasi, lady, man, gent, whatever. And he may appear to be somewhat attached, or maybe has a lot of material ambitions, or even material bad habits. But we have to look within, because you can't judge the quality of a person's blood with the naked eye. You have to look through the microscope. Look through the microscope, then you can see what kind of malaria germs or whatever is bacteria are there invading your blood. So the naked eye gives faulty perception. So to actually understand the Swarup Lakshana, or the primary characteristic of a devotee, we have to look deep into his heart. A telescopic vision. The naked eye cannot measure and cannot see. We might see someone, oh, he's not, we judge this. But if Krishna examines the heart, Bhavagrahi Janardhan. This is heart examination. He's an examiner. Like they have the examiners in college or whatever, the examiner. So he examines the heart. And so the advanced devotee, or at least Krishna, he's looking in the heart. All right, there's some temporary difficulty or obstacles this devotee is carrying or facing. But in his heart, he's extremely surrendered. Extremely surrendered. Very dedicated, and all he wants to do is just, he's always praying continually, oh my Lord, please, when will I get delivered from my Prarabdha Karma? When will my Prarabdha Karma leave me, and I will become unencumbered by this Prarabdha, and I can peacefully serve you without any encumbrances? The classic story that's told in this regard is the story of the Brahmin and the prostitute. You must have heard it many times. In one village at the edge of town, in the town there was one Brahmin, he had his house, and next door to his house was one prostitute, a lady of ill repute. And she, of course, was engaging in her business with so many men every night, or day and night, in her house. But she was a great Vishnu Bhakta, internally, extremely surrendered to the Lord, but externally, engaged in what is considered to be a rather abominable profession. Exploiting, or being exploited, or exploiting men for her livelihood. And she lived very lavishly, all kinds of jewelry, fancy clothes, big bungalow, fancy car, everything nice. And next to her was a Brahmin. And every day he was doing Pancha Yajna, Mahapancha Yajna. He was doing daily Homa, or you say home. Daily Homa, and he was distributing food to guests, and he was distributing food to the Petris, doing all the Brahminical Yamas and Niyamas, and all the activities. So he seemed to be a very regulated, pure-hearted, and advanced Brahman. And then next door, externally, the prostitutes seem to be engaged in all bad activities. But every night, at the conclusion of her business dealings, the prostitute would kneel down by her bed, or by her, let's say, by her, she had some small picture, little altar of Vishnu, Lakshmi Narayan, and she would kneel there for 1 hour before the picture of Lakshmi Narayan. She would cry her heart out in repentance. Oh my Lord, I'm so fallen, I'm such a wretched person, I have so many bad qualities, I'm engaged in such sinful activities, and I don't see any way out of this horrible predicament that my karma, my bad karma has led me into. Only by some good fortune, by some causeless mercy, ahoituki kripa, if you bestow your love upon me, I can come out of this. And so she was praying. And next door, in the house of the Brahman, at the end of his day of puja and pat, yajna, dan, pratigraha, all these things, he was always thinking in between his various activities, devotional activities, what is this prostitute doing? Oh, look, there's another man going into her house. Oh, another man coming out. Oh, another man's coming in. Another man's coming out. Oh, this lady is very bad. This lady is very bad. What is she doing? This is a very bad activity she's engaged in. So he was always thinking about this prostitute and how abominable she is and how bad. Although outside he was doing, but inside his heart he was so much thinking about this prostitute. And the prostitute, as when she finished her business, she didn't think anything about it. She simply cried in repentance before her picture of Vishnu and Lakshmi Devi, and begged for forgiveness. And again the next day, the same business. And again, like the elephants bathe in the river, get clean, and roll in the dust. And the time of death, the Yamadutas came to the Brahman's house. He said, hey, I think you have the wrong house. I think you have the wrong address. You should go next door. He said, no. Yeah, you're the one we want. We see we have a picture of you on our roster here. And they grabbed him. What is this? Listen, you're in your heart of heart, you did all these things externally. A good show. Swaha! Swaha! Right? Good show. But internally, your heart, you're not surrendered. You weren't surrendered to Vishnu. You were surrendered to the lady next door. You're always thinking of her, preoccupied with her misdeeds. So then he had to go to hell and suffer the result of his bad heart. Because in that particular age, it wasn't Kali Yuga or Nepra or maybe whatever, it's told in that particular age. In the previous age, we suffer for our sinful thoughts. Even Jesus discusses that in the Bible, which is only 2,000 years ago in Kali Yuga. But in our Shastras, it says that Satyuga, Treta and Dwapara, karma is involves everything. Karma involves kaya mano vakya. By our vakya, by our words, we can incur karmic reactions, good or bad. By our man, by our thoughts, our thinking, or our icha, by our willing or desire, we can incur good or bad results. Punya fal or pap fal. Sinful, good result or sinful result. And of course, by our kaya mano vakya, by our body and sense activities, which means actions we perform with our gross body, then we get reaction. You do something bad, you get bad reaction. So in the previous ages up to Kali Yuga, even bad thoughts. So Jesus said, he who lusts after a woman, it is the same as if he has laid down in bed with her. So some man, and now it's such a common activity. In other words, a man sees a very attractive, voluptuous woman, and he looks, oh, she's so attractive, so beautiful, I would like to enjoy with her and take her somewhere. So that thinking, that lusty feeling, that lusty looking, glancing and desiring will get karmic reaction. This is how Jesus spoke. He's saying, if you do like that, if you look, you look with lust and desire to enjoy, that's the same as if you had done it. as if you physically, in other words, mentally you want your thinking. But in our Shastras it said that the mental action, the mental activities we're not culpable for, we're not responsible for, fortunately. Otherwise we'd all be doomed. However, there's a catch with this, because in any age, especially in Kali Yuga, even though there's no immediate karmic reaction, or any karmic reaction, however, dayato vishayan pumsan, sangha sangha san, sanjayate kama. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, 59, that by contemplating the objects of attachment, by contemplating the objects of the senses, one develops attachment. And from attachment, lust arises. And from lust, so if you repeatedly look and desire, you don't get a reaction. There's no sinful reaction. But as you keep looking and desiring and contemplating, you become attached to that object of your desire. Then you pursue it. Then when you pursue it on the kaya platform or physical platform, then you get the reaction. Because you actually do something physical. So anything physical we do, we get a reaction. At any rate, no one knew who he was. That's what we heard. So this is another characteristic. He spent the entire night without sleeping. So first we heard, oh, he's a grihastha. Oh, I'm a grihastha. Oh, and he gave half his income to Krishna or to Ganga Devi. Oh, I also give some of my income to Krishna. All right. And then he always tells the truth, like Yudhisthira. Oh, well, yeah, most of the time I tell the truth. Okay, now let's see if we can match this one. He stayed up the whole night chanting Hare Krishna. Oh, I don't think I can match that one. So now we see the rather unique characteristics. He passed the entire night without sleeping. Chari Prahar. Prahar is 2.5 hours. So 4 times 2.5 hours is 10 hours of the night. Ratri Nidra Nahi. Ratri Nidra Nahi Krishnanam Sarva Ratri Hari Bali Nirgala Avan. Loudly chanting names of Krishna and Hari. By loudly chanting the names of Krishna throughout the night, Kolavesha Sridhar was disturbing the peaceful sleep of the nearby villagers. Sounds familiar. The Hare Krishna's Mangal Arti in London and other places, the neighbors don't appreciate it very much. I remember when we were in Berkeley, they have a sound ordinance, a law about sound, and they have some meter which measures decibels, decibel reading, can tell how much sound, 20 decibels or whatever, some measurement. And if it's too loud, then you get a fine. You get $100, $500 fine, making too much noise. So they used to come in the morning. I was there in 1975, and we moved into this new church, and it was converted into a temple in Berkeley from San Francisco. Prabhupada came there also in 75. We were there. And we'd have Mangal Arti, usual Mangal Arti, but with microphone. Then the neighbors would get on the phone, "Hello, the Hare Krishnas are making noise again." So the police would come marching into the temple with their boots on and machine guns. And I can remember 4 or 5 police with their shotguns coming Mangal Arti. It's quite a bizarre scene because everyone's looking at these Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And they're saying, "Shut up!" Then they start, no one can hear them because they're just chanting and dancing. It's like 5 or 8 policemen. And then they have whistles. What a Mangal Arti. Can you imagine a Mangal Arti in Delhi? 8 policemen come marching in with machine guns and blowing whistles. You probably just think they're joining the kirtan in India. But then everyone stops dead in their tracks. You can hear a pin drop. "You guys are making noise like a band of banshees," or whatever they said. Sound like this. So then what the temple had to do, the temple had to spend $40,000 on soundproofing, special glass windows and all kinds of things, so to keep the sound down. And even then, if you would open the door during kirtan, sometimes the police would stand outside the exit door by the deity room, and they would have their machine to measure decibels. So when you'd open the door, that heavy noise inside the disco or something, all the doors are closed, doom, 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 you open the door and it comes flying out. So as soon as they open the door, the police would be there and go boing, the meter would go flying to the top. Then it would come in, "Oh, you're breaking the sound ordinance." I said, "Come on, give us a break, man. Somebody how to leave the temple to go to the bathroom, and then you give him get a ticket. So this is the kind of harassment you face in the West. So the same thing is going on 500 years ago. Sridhar, Kulaveshwar Sridhar, is chanting all night Hare Krishna, and the neighbors are calling the police. He's making too much noise. He's disturbing our sleep. This is an old time pastime. The purpose of devotees doing kirtan is to feelingly address Krishna for the benefit of themselves and for the benefit of the godless human society. Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he's giving the purport here. Why was... I guess someone might say, well, can't he be satisfied? This is what the opponents would say, or the moderate view would be. Well, couldn't Sridhar be satisfied just chanting in his room quietly? Or even better, couldn't Sridhar be satisfied just doing manasik japa, chanting in his mind? Did he have to chant loudly? And did he have to chant all night? Is there any justification for this? Is there any reason for this? And yes, there is. Because he's karunamayi. He's full of karuna, kripambudhi. Because everyone's sleeping in maya. Jeev jago, gora chandra bole. Kota nidra jao maya, pisha chira kole. Pishacha. Pishacha means witch. You're all sleeping in the lap of the witch called maya. Jeev, uto, 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 jiva, uto, uto. Rise, stand, get up. Tamasi imam, jyotir gama. So, okay, you're sleeping. Of course, you should let the people sleep. That's also a point. But Siddhanta Saraswati says, why do devotees feelingly chant the holy name in kirtan? And that is an interesting qualifying word, adjective. Feelingly. And feelingly also, he's implying loudly. Why? Because they want to benefit themselves. Because we'll hear it. Our ears and mind will become purified. And they want to benefit the godless society. Especially 500 years ago, the society of Navadri was not exactly, we could say, purely atheistic in the strict sense of the term, because they were Shakta worshippers. Mostly they were Shakta worshippers or Smarta Brahmins, which means basically Gyanis, impersonal Gyanis, Smartas. They're not really much concerned with the personal conception of the Lord. If you look in the Hindi Panchang, it tells the Ekadasi Tithi, and it says Yogini Ekadasi, then it says Smarta, Thursday. Yogini Ekadasi, Vaishnav, Friday. So very often the observance or the Tithi or the Ekadasi day for the Smartas is one day and the Vaishnavas is another. And Vaishnavas is a broad spectrum of devotees. Ram Bhaktas, Vishnu Bhaktas, Krishna Bhaktas, Gauranga Bhaktas. So the Smartas are basically... So what I'm trying to say is Navadvip was overrun by a type of class of atheists, you could say. This is how Vrindavan Das Thakur says it. So he was atheist, or obviously godless. So Sridhar was trying to benefit the godless society. The devotees, the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, were quite a minority. Although we hear that when he wanted to march on the Qazi's house, where 1 lakh of people joined him. That's what is described. But the basic description of Navadvip at the time was everywhere Shaktas. And that's also, some biographers say, that's, of course, that's their external viewpoint. There's other reasons also. But by Lord Chaitanya, when he began his Sankirtan movement, he left Navadvip. He didn't stay very long. He started his Sankirtan movement when he's about 20 years old. He took initiation when he's about 19 or 20. And he obviously took sannyas when he's 24. Everyone's well aware of that. So it was about 2.5-3 years he stayed in Navadvip with the Sankirtan movement, which is a minority movement. And seeing the opposition of the student class, which we know that's why he took sannyas, the student class was threatening to beat him and conspiring to beat him if he, by chance, raised his voice against them again. And the Smartas and Shaktas were very much against him. And what to speak of the Muslims, the whole place was full of Muslims. The Muslim was a ruler. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya went to South India and then he went to Orissa, because Orissa is a very much a Vaishnava place because of Jagannath. Orissa is a country, originally was a separate country. India was many countries. Orissa was called Utkal, and then Kalinga and Utkal, right? The neighboring kingdom was Kalinga, king of Kalinga, so Utkal. So Utkal, present-day Orissa, this has been a Vaishnav state for millions of years. Because the antiquity of Lord Jagannath, they don't really know. I mean, mundane historians say the temple is 2,000 years old, but the worship of Jagannath is eternal. They say it began with the beginning of the universe. And Skanda Puran began with Lord Brahma. Vishwakarma and Brahma. Brahma came down to do the installation. Vishwakarma carved the deities. It's very ancient. It goes Satyuga. It's millions and millions. Basically, it's, from their viewpoint in Puri, it is the oldest temple in India and has the longest standing tradition of worship, Vishnu worship. Jagannath is Krishna. Since millions and millions of years, predating any other temple in India. This is their understanding of the deity history. So there, it's a very favorable state to be a devotee. No wonder Lord Chaitanya spent 24 years, one half of his life, well not actually one half, 6 years he was traveling. But that was his base. For 24 years that was his base, although he traveled for six and then remained there 18. So it was a godless society, and Sridhar Maharaj was chanting loudly at night to try to purify the atmosphere. Yateka Pashandi Bali Sridhar Dhake Ratri Nidra Nahijai Dui Karna Hate Mahachasha Beta Bhate Peta Nahibhare Shudhaya Vyakulahana Ratri Jagimare. All of the atheists complained. This is how they were complaining to the police department. Due to the loud crying of Sridhar, we cannot sleep at night and our ears are broken. This Sridhar is a low-class fellow who cannot fill his stomach because he's afflicted with hunger and suffering from hunger pains. He's forced to stay awake throughout the whole night, crying, "Oh, oh, 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 food, oh, food, khana, rajma." For those visitors to this abode, rajma is the most popular food of the people sitting next to you. In common vernacular, it's baked beans. So now you can understand why, as you laugh, they also laugh. Now, so that's the atheist, the two bits of the atheist. Now the thread, as they say nowadays in their computer language, the thread of the story is picked up by Vrindavan Das Thakur in the next verse, 149 from chapter 9. E mata pashandi mariye mandabali nijakarya karaye shidarakutahali. In this way, the Pashandis, the atheists, continued their blaspheme as Sridhar happily engaged in his own activities. As Prabhupada said, the caravan, the dogs may bark, but the parade will pass. And Prabhupada said, caravan means the parade. You see these wedding parades, it's quite common. When Bharat, the guy sits on a donkey backwards or something. I suppose it's supposed to be a horse. He sits backwards on a donkey, he doesn't know where he's going, but he's happy about it. And when he ends up married, then he thinks, oh, I got on the wrong donkey. Or I went the wrong direction. Anyway, he sits on a horse, looking forward and going backwards. And all his friends gather around in front of the horse, and boom, boom, bang, bang, and you know, all this kind of stuff. And a big noise, big, big noise, the sound and the fury. And the dogs are, how, 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 how. And usually someone who's dancing in a party, he takes his foot, boom, and I've seen in Vrindavan, you can't miss it. You're on your way to some temple and they're going down Loi Bazaar with a wedding party. and boom, boom, bang, bang, and a dog's going, how, how? And then sure enough, some Brijvasi gives him a little special mercy. A little dust from his lotus feet. And cracks him in the mouth with his leather boots, you know. So the dogs bark, but the parat goes on to its destined destiny, whatever. So in the same way, the atheists, on one side the atheists, the anti-party, the Pashandis, the atheists are, hey, this guy, he's starving, he's howling at night like a banshee. But that's on one side. But on the other side, there's Sridhar. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He's happily going his way. He's happily engaged in his own activities. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Water on a duck's back, right? The water comes in the oily, waxy feathers of the duck. The water, rainwater comes. You ever see ducks? Wah, wah. They stand out in the rain, and you say, oh, this stupid duck, why doesn't he go under a tree? What does he care? He lives in the water. He's a water and air are his elements. He floats in the water, moving through the air. You know, water and air are the very elements of his very existence. He's supported by the water, gliding in the lake. And air all around him. The air is his house, his walls. The water is the floor of his house. The air is the four walls and the roof. So when it's raining, he sits there. And his rain is coming, falling, just flying off his feathers. They don't even get wet. Inside, just the outside of his feathers gets wet. Just like when it's raining, the roof of your house gets wet. You don't get wet, do you? But you're inside your house. So the duck is inside his feathers. So inside is all down, all is down, and he's warm, he's dry, he's happy. So Sridhar is not affected. So devotees are not affected. Hari bali dakite e ache Sridhar, nisha bhage prema yoge dake uchai swar. Sridhar continued to loudly call out the name of Hari with love throughout the night. He didn't care for the Pashandis. Let them criticize, let them say anything. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's interesting in the description that we've come across the same phrase again. Nisha bhage. He broke the night. Prema yoga. It says, prema yoga dhake uchai swara. Swara. Ucha. Uchai. Very loudly, his voice was very loud. And his sankirtan is called prema yoga. Yoga means connection or mixed with, joined with. So his chanting, dhake. Dhake means to speak. Speak very loudly, he was chanting. And his prema yoga was mixed, his chanting was mixed with love. And this is the essential element that attracts the Lord. Devotional service. Not just service. Like sometimes you meet people, well, what is your occupation? What is your employment? And they say, well, I'm in service. Have you ever heard this phrase? I am in service. Does that mean government service? Generally it implies government service, or what does it mean? Any service? I'm in service means I'm working for the Army, Air Force, Navy, etc. Then, so we're also in service. We're in service of Guru. Guru Seva, Krishna Seva, Nam Seva, Dham Seva, Vaishnav Seva, Prasad Seva. The prayer that we chant many, many times a day. Because we eat so many times. Sharira Vidyajal. It's called Prasad Seva, that prayer. Prasad Seva. So we are engaged in Seva to these various entities or transcendental presentations, Prasad or devotees or the Lord. But it's called Bhakti, Bhakti Yoga. We're connecting Bhakti with our Seva. So it becomes devotional service. Bhakti yoga is translated devotional service. Service connected with bhakti. Bhakti yoga. This is called prema yoga. Prema yoga dake uchai swara. So his chanting is connected with prema. So our service is connected with bhakti. What is the translation in English of bhakti yoga? Devotional service. So this is the essential difference between us and an undiscovered devotee is that they're serving, we're serving, but we are, at least ostensibly, we are supposed to be serving with devotion, with bhakti, with love. Love and affection. Sometimes there's a joke, they say that when you make an offering to the Lord, you should make that offering with love and devotion. But oftentimes you make an offering with lust and commotion. Lust replaces love and commotion. Commotion means lots of motion, lots of movement. So lust and commotion instead of love and devotion. It's kind of a joke, but... So this is Sridhar's speciality, the vishesh gun of his chanting, that it was prema yoga, dhake. So we hear about that, and we use this shloka as a mirror. You look in the mirror, and you see somebody. You. Me. So shlokas are like mirrors. And they're meant to show we're meant to see ourselves in the shloka. Do we see something of ourselves here? Do we see, oh yes, this thing I see in me? Or, oh no, I don't see this in me. Oh, and should this be in me or should this not be in me? So this, each shloka is like a mirror into ourselves for adjustment. For example, if you look in the mirror and you see that you're some cut on your face or some problem, then you say, oh, I have to do some adjustment here. Or if you see, look in the mirror and you see that your hair dye is, some gray hair is coming in, then you know it's time to dye your hair again, right? Ladies and gentlemen that are dyeing their hair, they look in the mirror, oh, my gray hair is coming in. I see it's black here where I dyed it, but the new roots coming in are gray. I think the older people can relate to what I'm saying. Oh, I better go to the beauty parlor and dye my hair. So the mirror tells you something about you should do some adjustments. So these verses tell us about ourselves that we should do some adjustments. So the adjustment here is prema yoga dhake uchaiswari, that alright, he's chanting Satkirtan, of course through the night, which let's stay with the day for us. We're trying to chant Hare Krishna through the day or part of the day. Now we have to see this shloka and say, well, Sridhar is chanting with love. Loudly, with love. Am I chanting with love? And then, if not, what to do? Well, the verses are not only mirrors, but they are treasure boxes. Each verse is a mirror and each verse is a treasure box. Treasure box means niti kosh. And you can, if you can open that treasure box, you can extract or withdraw the valuable jewels and gems within. So, acting as a treasure box, then the shloka has a treasurer. Each shloka has a treasurer. Treasurer means the person in charge of the box, who has the key to the box, who is maintaining the treasure. So in this case, it is a prema bhakta. In this case, it's Nitya Parishad of the Lord. In this case, it's a Gaura Bhakta. And of course, he has some identity also in Krishna Leela, which I can't think of right now. Just like Mukunda Das, we were speaking Mukunda Das this morning. We didn't have much time to really elaborate. But Mukunda Das, I believe, is Brindadevi, as far as I recall. He's Brindadevi and Krishna Leela. As his brother... His brother is Narahari Sarkar, and he's Mukunda Sarkar. He's called Mukunda Das, but actually his formal name is, he's from Srikanda. His name is Mukunda Sarkar Thakur. And his brother's name is Narahari Sarkar Thakur. We sing Narahari's name every night in evening aarti, right? Kiva Jayo Jayagura Chandra, then Narahari is holding the chamara whisk, right? So he's fanning Lord Gauranga in the Yoga Peet, in the Sandhya Aarti, at the Yoga Peet at Shiva Sangam. Narahari is rendering Chamara. So the brother of Mukunda Sarkar is Narahari, and in Krishna Leela he's a Sakhi, Radharani Sakhi named Madhumati Sakhi. So the families, one's a Sakhi, one's Brindadevi, also a Sakhi. So we pray to the treasure of Prem in this verse. This particular verse says Prem Dake, right? It says Prem Yoge Dake Uchaisvara. This is Sridhar, eternal associate of the Lord, Chaitanya. And he's staying up all night chanting with love. So we look, as a mirror, we look at this verse and see that, oh, I don't have this type of love. Forget about staying up all night. I'm not even thinking about that. I'm certainly not going to pray for that. I can't handle it. I'm just trying to stay up during the day, what to speak of. I can't even stay up during the day, what to speak of night. And I'm trying to manage that, so I won't try to pray for that. But my chanting is certainly not imbued with any love or devotion. It's more like the lust and commotion type. And this is a great treasure, this nidhi of love, this praying nidhi, this is the desirable treasure of the devotee, the prayojan, the necessity, praying prayojan, the necessity of the devotee. This is our goal in life. Adho shuddha tata sura sangha bhajana kriya, right? Narta nivriti tata nishta, tata ruchi, asakti bhava and prema. The goal is love of God. And this, here's someone who's chanting with love. Oh, Sridhar, you have the key to this treasury. And I'm hearing about your qualities, and I'm thinking of you, and I'm remembering you, and I'm seeing you there. Maybe you're on your rooftop chanting loudly, under the moonshine, walking back and forth, chanting in ecstasy, looking at the Ganga. In your house in Navadvip. Or maybe you're in your house, maybe you're in your temple room with your shalagram. You had a very small house. It was on the banks of Jalangi, actually. Behind, you can visit the ruins of his place. Behind the, where is it? Mayapur? Was it Mayapur Jagannath Temple? I think it's near the Mayapur Jagannath Temple. Back there is his house. I went sometime, I forget now. Kulavitra Street, our little shrine is there. So we pray, oh, please, can you? I'm hearing about you, I'm thinking of you, you're appearing here before me in this verse, your notion of mercy, Kripambuddhi, and I certainly need your blessings and mercy, so I petition you, I pray to you. Do you hear me? I'm crying. I'm not crying in the, crying out loudly and praying, but I'm crying at your lotus feet. Oh, hey, oh, Vaishnav Thakur, Kandite, what is it? Kandiya? Kandiya, Kandiya. Kripa Bindu Diya. Kripa Bindu Diya. Please give me one bindu of Kripa. Mercy, a drop of mercy. Will I someday chant loudly or softly or mentally or any way with love, Prem Yoga? And you're another agent of that substance. You're another representative of that commodity. And you're appearing before me, I'm meeting you, I'm hearing about you, I'm remembering you, and you're eternal. He who reasons ill, who say the Vaishnavas die. Vaishnavas are eternal. Like we say, Avirbhav Tirobhav. That means always existing. Does the sun have, we say the sun rises and sets. The sun is always there, it's only our change of position. The earth is moving, the sun is there. The sun is always Avirbhav. So the Vaishnava is always Avirbhav, always manifest, accessible, present before us. But we think, oh, he's disappeared, oh, he's left us. In one form he has left. The body, the sharir, deha, the guru, the vapu, guru vapu, the form has left. But the vani is eternal, the bhav is eternal, the access is eternal, the mercy is eternal, the kripa is eternal. That's Nitya Avirbhav, always manifest, always appearing. So it's just a kind of a posture. It's like you see, I stand and look at you like this, and if I turn around back, oh, have I disappeared? No, now you're seeing my back. Now you're seeing my front. Same person. Oh, so Avirbhav Tirobhav, the Vaishnava is always there, always available. Only that, because the Vaishnava is not part of the material energy. He's a prakriti deha. And he's living in the aprakrita dham, representing the aprakrita. The aprakrita. Aprakrita means the non-material. Aprakriti means material. Birth and death. Appearance, manifestation, diminishing, dwindling, and disappearance. So this is, Sridhar is not dead and gone. He's very much alive, very much accessible. So this is the mirror. Each verse is a dharpan and each verse is a kosh. Dharpan and kosh. Kosh means treasury. So we can take advantage of these jewels. So now we've heard about Sridhar, his qualities, and his indifference to the world. He's indifferent. Let them criticize, ridicule me. I don't care. Say any damn thing about me. I don't care. I will go on with my chanting. Happily also. I won't think, oh, they don't like me. My parents are criticizing. My grandmother doesn't like it. I chant Hare Krishna. Gee, I think I should stop. And oh, I'm feeling sad. And maybe I shouldn't be a Hare Krishna. And my father doesn't like it. And No, you're all criticizing me. The whole world is in opposition, going against me. Relatives, friends, relatives, well-wishers, shaktas, anyone, atheists, bhashandis. Let it be, so be it. What me worry? What do I care? Let me go on. And he went on happily, without any disturbance or any setback, or any diminishing or decrease of his practices. He very happily... All right, say whatever you want. Hare Krishna. Oh, I'm cutting you out of the will. My father was a very wealthy person, and my two brothers. And then he said, "Guess what? You became a Hare Krishna. Let Krishna take care of you. See what he does for you. Don't ever come and ask me for any money." And I looked at him and said, "I'll never ask you for any money, but I will pray for you." That's the last thing I said. That was 1981 when I saw my father. And he lived to be 90 and he died about 2 years ago or so, whatever, 3 years ago. "I'll never ask you for a penny, but I will pray for you." So I don't know if I never communicated with him after that either, from 1981. I communicated with my brother and he would give me the news because I became the black sheep of the family. What to do? So Sridhar didn't care. So we heard about him, but the thread of the story, or the actual plot, which we was a slight digression to hear about the characteristics of Sridhar, but the actual action, the drama, the scene is that Mahaprabhu is sitting on the throne at Srivasa Thakur's house, the Singhasan, the deity's asan. He's sitting there. And they're doing so much puja to him, and he's exhibiting his form as Vaikunthanath, and they're worshipping him as such with great Aishwarya. Then suddenly he says, "Oh, where's Sridhar? Where's Kulavesh? Someone get Sridhar. He's at the edge of town. Go collect Sridhar." So it's kind of a frozen scene there. We're watching. Now there's a digression or a flashback or whatever you want to call it, where the narrator steps in and starts speaking about who is this Sridhar, and paints something about his characteristics and identity in our mind. Then the camera flashes back. Here he is, the famous, the person we heard all about. And here comes Sridhar in front of the screen. And you see Sridhar. So that's where the next verse takes us. Back to the action. Arda patta bhaktagan gela matradan Sridharera dakka shune tatai takia. As soon as the devotees who were sent by Mahaprabhu to collect Sridhar, as soon as they got halfway to his house, they heard the loud cries of Sridhar, which we were already hearing about, but now they came to know. We already knew about it because we had this digression in the story by Vrindavan Das. Now they're devotees that were sent in the middle of the night, because this is going on. Lord Chaitanya sat on the throne of Vishnu for 21 hours continuously. So if he sat on it sometime in the evening, so 6 o'clock in the evening, now it's like 12 o'clock at night, or 1 o'clock, so it's like midway, you can say. And the devotees have run out to his house, and they get halfway there. "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare." "Oh, yeah, what's that? Oh, that's coming in the direction. We're on our way to Sridhar's house, and there's all trees and banana trees. It must be coming from Sridhar's house." Because no one recognized, no one really knew very much who he was. This is what we heard in an earlier verse. No one really recognized him. although they dealt with him and bought, they didn't know that he was such a great devotee. Dakano sari gela bhagavatagan shidarera darya laila tatakshan. The devotees followed that sound. It's like a dog. A dog smells something and runs in direction of the scent. So they heard, because it's all jungle, it's the middle of the night, there's no street lights, and there's no roads. If you've ever been in Mayapur, this is 500 years ago, there's just some footpath here and there. Kolavesha Sridhar, he's crying at night, so then the devotees who are going to his house, it's pitch black, there's no street lights, and they hear, Hare Krishna! Oh, let's go that way. That must be the person we're looking for. So they go in that direction, they follow the sound. So now they've met him. They've come to. They follow the voice. They found the source of the voice. Chala chala mahashaya prabhu deka giya amara kritarta hai toma parashya. O mahashaya. Mahashaya means great soul or greatly hopeful person. So they're addressing him like that because they heard that he's a great devotee, and they can understand by he's up all night chanting. Instead of saying, oh, Sridhar, because it's too intimate, they say, oh, Mahashaya. Oh, Mahashaya. Come and see the Lord. Let us become glorious by your touch. Shunya Praburanam Sridhara Murchita Anande Vivalahai Padila Bhumita. As soon as Sridhar heard the name of his Lord, Prabhu, because it says Prabhura, because that was the intimate associates of the Lord, they would call him Prabhu. That was one of his names, Gora, Goranga. Later, after he took sannyas, he was often called Mahaprabhu. But in his pre-sannyas time, among his sangha, he was called Gora and Goranga, and more up Vishwambar. In the earlier youth, he was Nimai, of course, Nimai Pandit, but now he's 20 years old. So he's called Vishwambar or Gora, or Gora Chandra, Gora Sundar, or Shachinandan, and Prabhu. Mostly they would call him Prabhu, out of respect. It's also intimate, but it's respectful. So when the verse is saying Prabhu, that's actually the name. So the devotees of the Lord, they came and met Sridhar, and they said, oh, Mahashaya, come see Prabhu. So as soon as he heard the name of his beloved Lord, as soon as he heard Prabhu, oh, Prabhu, Murchita Bhumite Padila. Murchita Bhumite Padila. He became unconscious just by hearing the name Prabhu once. So you can imagine how much he was absorbed and whom he was thinking of when he was chanting. He's crying out the holy name of the Lord. It doesn't say, it just said he was crying the holy name, maybe Gora's name all through the night. Gora, Gora. Then someone comes out of the pitch black out of nowhere without any SMS message, without any calling, without any beeper or anything, just comes out of the dark and says, oh, Mahashaya, and he's absorbed in his own trance anyway of chanting. He's not like waiting for somebody to come. He's not expecting that anyone would come. There was no premonition about it. There was no invitation. He didn't know anything. He was just absorbed and lost in his own ecstasy, staying up all night. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, Mahashaya. Huh? What? What? Who? What? Mahashaya, what are you talking about? Mahashaya means, oh great soul, oh great revered one, oh Mahashaya. And he's thinking, Trinada Pisanicha, who, me? I'm the little old banana seller. I sell bananas and leaf plates. You're calling me Mahashaya? It's like going up to the rickshaw wall or something. Oh Mahashaya, please take thou to the Bikaji Kama place. And the rickshaw will look at, what are you, cracked? What's with you? Oh Mahashaya. Oh Thakur. Oh great soul. Please take me to a neighbor place. So he's thinking, what? So they say, oh Mahashaya. Then they say, please come and see Prabhu. He says, what? Prabhu? Prabhu? What? Prabhu? Oh. He probably didn't even see these devotees. He just heard some word, Mahashaya, and then he heard Prabhu, and as soon as He didn't have time to register, even see, because the sound of his beloved's name entered his ear, and immediately he responded without, it's not he planned, I heard Prabhu's name, now I think I should faint. Oh, let's faint. It's not like that. It's spontaneous, it's uncontrollable. So this is, you have to see the whole picture and how astounding it all is. Overwhelmed with ecstasy. Ate vyate bhaktagan mlaila tulila vishrambara agenila alaga kariya. The devotees quickly picked him up and carefully brought him before Vishrambara, as we were just saying, Prabhu Vishrambara. Very carefully, because he's in a very delicate state of consciousness. Sridhara dekhiya Prabhu prasanna hoyela aisa aisa valida kitela agila. As soon as Prabhu saw Sridhar, he was prasanna, very, very happy. And he called, Aisa, Aisa, Aye, Aye, come, 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 Sridhar, come. Now, Mahaprabhu Vishrambara speaks, Vistara kariyacha, mora aradan, bahujanma mora preme, tyajila jivan. O Sridhar, you have worshipped me for so long. You have passed many lifetimes to obtain my love. Aradhana. Bahujanam. Bahujanma more. Prima tyajila jivan. Tyajila, you've given up. Like tyagi? Tyajila, you've given up jivan. Tyajila jivana means you've passed many lives. Past many lives, you've born and died, and born and died, and born, birth and death, birth and death. Tyajila jan. And what have you done in each of those lives? You've aradana. Vishnu aradanam sarvesham. Aradanam. You've done Gauranga aradanam. You've worshipped me, life after life, to attain my love. E janme mora seva karila vistar tomara kolayana kai nirantar. In this life you have served me so much, I always eat rice off from banana leaves which I purchase from you. So every day the Lord is eating from Sridhar's banana leaves. Tomara hastera dravya kainu vistar pasarila amasange je kaila utar. I have eaten many items that I have purchased from your shop. You have forgotten your conversations that you used to have with me. Now Vrindavan Das speaks. Jakan karila Prabhu vidyara vilas Parama udatta hina jakana prakash se kale gura rupe shirara sange kola kena vecha chale kaila bahurange. When Mahaprabhu manifested his pastimes as a scholar, vilas, he acted like a most arrogant person, as we were mentioning earlier. The proud scholar, the boy genius, right? Arrogant person, keeping his identity concealed. Nimai Pandit enjoyed various pastimes with Sridhar on the pretext of buying banana leaves. So we had intimated about this particular verse in our previous class about Sridhar didn't know the identity of the Lord. He only knew him as this arrogant scholar who was bickering and bartering with me over the prices of my banana flowers and banana leaves. And now he's showing his... Now this same arrogant boy scholar has grown up. Mahaprakash Aishwarya. Now he's showing his Vaikuntha aspect, this Mahaishwarya in Srivas Thakur's house. His godhood, his Bhagavatva. He's no longer the chatur chalak balak, the playful, naughty boy. Now he's God of God, God's King of Kings. And Vishwambhar wants Sridhar to see that. Look at this aspect of me. You want to see something extraordinary? Now watch this. Poof. For example, you may be dealing with someone. Say you were some mystic yogi, and you're always coming to that person. Every day you're going to a sweet shop and buying sweets, and you're 5 feet tall and normal build. And one day you look at the person, you say, "You do you know who I am?" You say to the sweet shop person, "Do you know? Yes, you're Mr. Gupta. You come here and you're this tall. You want to see something?" Doom. And he was a mystic yogi, and suddenly he turns into Bakasura. This huge, 300-foot tall crane with this huge beak. And the guy, what is this? Turned into a monster. It's an unbelievable transformation or metamorphosis or whatever. So this is what's happening. The Mahaprabhu wants Sridhar to see this. So now this, the background of the, it's interesting that if you were to film this Chaitanya Bhagavat, how much it incorporates many of the aspects of modern motion pictures. Because now we're seeing the flow of the scene is that Lord Chaitanya is 20 years old. He's in Shiva's house. He's sitting on the throne for 21 hours. Everyone's there. He's inviting Sridhar. Now there's a digression in the plot. A digression where now it's flashing back to when Nimai was 8 years old. So this was a flashback when he was a young boy. So now Vrindavan Das Thakur, he's the cameraman or the choreographer, whatever we call it, the screenwriter. He's taking us back. At one moment, we're with Lord Chaitanya. He's 20 years old. He's in Srivasa's house. Now we're hearing about Lord Chaitanya. Now he's not Lord Chaitanya. He's Nimai Pandit. And now we're finding out, what was their early relationship? What was his relationship with this Sridhar? So, pratidina Sridhara prasarete gya toda kala mula kola anena kiniya. Nimai every day visited Sridhar's shop and he bought banana leaves, bananas and banana stems. Pratidina charidanda kalaha kariya tabai se kinaya dravya ardamulya dia. Every day Nimai would quarrel with Sridhar for 2 hours. Charidanda. Danda is a measurement of 24 minutes. There are 60 dandas in one day. So you could imagine? You could imagine every day Nimai Pandit coming to your shop and arguing with you for 2 hours? Long, beautiful black hair. He's not a sannyasi now. He's Nimai, beautiful lotus eyes with some decoration on his face and flower champa garland and beautiful white dhoti with a white chadar with a golden border and some flowers around his arm sometime and maybe some books under his arm coming from school, looking so beautiful, more beautiful than a million cupids. And you're this old Brahmin selling some banana leaves and this beautiful young boy, 9 years old, 10 years old, 11 years old, comes and joking with you, "Hey, old man, how much for this banana leaf?" 5 paise. I'm taking it free. Come on. Oh, no, you're not. You've given me 5 paise. Oh, no, I'm taking it free. You watch me. Hey, you're taking. Hey, come back. Okay, here's your leaf. I don't want them. Then you take them. No, you take. No, you please take. I'll give you half price. No, I want free. Nimai, for 2 hours bickering and quarreling. How can you spend 2 hours bickering over a banana leaf? And what's going on here? It's all about love. Just like man and woman, they spend 2-3 hours lying together in a bed talking about nothing. The whole night goes, and they don't know. And there's, of course, some brahmacharis don't know, but those unfortunate ones that are married or were married, they can relate to things that we're saying. And so this is love. Love, you can just blow so much time, waste so much time. The lovers don't consider it a waste of time. So here, two hours, they're bickering over a banana leaf. It's unbelievable. Because it's all about loving exchanges. And no one's feeling that it's 2 hours. They feel like it's 1 minute. Oh, he came to my shop. Nimai came to my shop for 1 minute and he left. He daily would quarrel with Sridhar for 2 hours and then he would buy Sridhar's goods for half price. Now that's, I think, all the women in the world, they should pray to Lord Chaitanya. And then they'll save a lot of their husband's money. Say, oh Lord Chaitanya, please bless me. When I go in the market, I can get everything for half price. And then I can give the receipts to my husband and say, look, I spent this much and keep the other half in my pocket. And this way I get more spending money. Wives are always trying to figure out how to do that. So Nimai Pandit was an expert bargainer. So this is the Leela. Satyavadi Sridhara Yatharta Mulya Bale Arda Mulya Dhiya Prabhu Nija Haste Tole. Although truthful Sridhar quoted a reasonable and fair price, Nimai would still take the goods at half price. So he was not a cheating businessman. He was giving a very fair price, the market price. If the price is 1 rupee, he was giving it for the minimal price, the minimal profit Sridhar was making. He was not trying to make a huge profit and cheat anyone. He was not a cheater. He was satyavadi. What does it say? It says satyavadi. He was words of truth, vad. He was a truthful person, honest business person. And he was not cheating. But still, Nimai would say, I know, okay, it's worth half a rupee, but I'm not going to give you half a rupee. I'm going to give you a quarter of a rupee. I'll give you 25 paisa. It's such too much. So now what's going to happen? Utiya Sridhara Das Kare Karakadi Emata Sridhara Takurera Huda Hudi. Then Sridhar would stand up, grab hold of his goods, and a tug of war would ensue. Give me my leaf plates. No, I want them. No, no. So Nimai would gather 10 leaf plates to take home the shachi for feeding everyone. And then he'd say, how much are these 10 leaf plates? And he'd say, 2 rupees. I'll give you 1 rupee. And he would, here's the rupee. And he would, then Lord Chaitanya would start to walk away with the 10 leaf plates. And then Sridhar would say, hey, where are you going? Nothing doing. Hey. And he would, and then tug of war means going back and forth like this with the leaf plates. In this way, Sridhar and the Lord would shove each other back and forth. Hey, give me those. No, God, push. So who could be so fortunate to have such intimate daily pastimes with Nimai Pandit? Kulavetra Sridhar ki jai. So now, of course, if there's physical action, usually there's also verbal action. Prabhupada, Hina bhai Sridhar tapasvi, anaki tomararta achehinavati. Oh brother, oh bhai, Sridhar, why do you live like a tapasvi? Why do you live like an ascetic when you have so much wealth? Amara hatera dravya laha je kadia etadina ke ami na janis iha. Why are you taking these goods out of my hands, Sridhar? Don't you know who I am? Vrindavan Das says, Parama Brahmanya Sridhar Kruda Nahi Hai Vadana Dekhiya Sarva Dravya Kadi Lai. The most brahminical Parama Brahmanya Sridhar did not become angry, Kruda, like we say, Krod, Kruda Nahi Hai. After looking at the Lord's face, he gave him all the goods. So, this is also in Krishna Leela. The very same pastime is in Krishna Leela. Sometimes when Krishna is stealing butter and yogurt in some gopi's house in Gokul, and then they catch him, and they start punishing him, and You rascal, you came in here with all your boys, you're stealing this freshly made butter. I worked so hard to prepare this butter. And Krishna's looking at her. Me? I didn't do it. The monkeys did it. You know? And then he's looking up and she's holding his ear and looking down at him. And she says, you know, you stole all my stock of butter. You actually, here, take some butter. And she starts feeding him butter from her own hand. So that's what happened. Lord Chaitanya, he's so beautiful. Looking at the Lord's face. Vadana dekhiya sarvadravya karilai. Sarvadravya. Dravya means object or goods or items. Vadana means his face. Vadana dekhiya. All right, take everything. Take it. Don't give any money, just take it. What's a banana leaf? If it'll make you happy, take it, everything. This is love. Love means take everything. Madana Mohana Rupa Goranga Sundara Nalate Tilak Shobhe Urdva Manohar. The form of Gora Sundara was more enchanting than Cupid. His forehead was beautifully decorated with tilak. In other words, it's such a beautiful... Vrindavanas Thakur paints such beautiful pictures, and he's writing it. His writing is so tightly connected and so logical. Because one verse, it's beautifully done, because one verse it says that Sridhar looked at his Vadana Dekhiya. He just looked at his face and he said, take all the goods. Now the next question might be, well, can we hear more about that beautiful face? Or can we hear more about that face? What was he looking at? And this is what, it's almost like a movie, like a script for a movie. Because the camera would be showing all these verses. Because first it shows the camera. The camera is showing Sridhar and Nimai, and then he's looking at him, and then or you see the camera, maybe you got one camera is on Sridhar's face, and you say, "Oh, you're so beautiful." And then the other camera looks, the second camera shines on Nimai's face, and then you see what face, what is actually the face from the angle that Sridhar is looking at. This is when you're watching television, this is happening all the time. Four or five cameras showing you different angles. So it all goes together and you think it's a continuum. You actually feel like you're right there. So when you read Shastra, we should try to enter it like a TV and try to see the different angles and the different cameras and try to see. And then you can see that the expert writers of Shastra, like Vrindavan Das Thakur, he's Veda Vyas, he's providing all those camera angles and all the emotions so that we can really, if we apply our mind to it, see how it flows. One verse he says, oh, he looked at the Lord's face and he gave him all the goods. The next thing is, well, what is that face? That face is so beautiful that he's Gora Sundar. That Gora is Sundar. And how Sundar? How much beautiful? He's more beautiful than Madan Mohan. He's Madan Mohan Rupa Goranga Sundar Lalate Tilaka Shobhe Urdva Manohar. His forehead was beautifully decorated with Urdva, effulgent Tilak. Word Manohar, which the translator doesn't even translate, but it says here, it says Madana Mohan Rupa Goranga, the form of Gora Sundar was more enchanting. Oh, that's the Manohar. Was stealing the mind, Manohar. So his mind was stolen. That's why he gave him all the goods. How is it that he suddenly changed his mind? Sridhar was arguing over the price. I want 1 rupee. No, I'll give you half. 1 rupee, half rupee, 1 rupee, 50 paise. And there were tug of war back and forth with the banana leaves. And then suddenly he looked at his face. So this face has a certain quality. Oh, Gora Sundar. Goranga is very beautiful. And his face, his form is more beautiful than Madan Mohan, Cupid himself. Okay, but what happened by seeing that face? When Sridhar saw the face of Gora Sundar, his mind got stolen. When your mind gets stolen, then you can't think straight. And you can't speak straight. So, Manohar, that's another quality of Nimai or Gora Sundar's beauty. He looked at that beautiful face, Vadana, Vadana Dekhiya, and he saw the beautiful tilak on his face. And he realized, as he looked at his face, he said, this boy is more beautiful than Cupid. And then as he looked more and more, eventually he became completely absorbed, completely attached, and he lost his mind. And that's what people do. They hypnotize you and then steal all your money. So then he hypnotized. Gaurasundara hypnotized him with his beauty, Manohar. He stole his mind, and then he ran off with all the banana leaves. Because that's how he was. Because it said in the previous verse, it says he gave him all the goods. Well, why should he give him all the goods? Why should he suddenly change his mind? His mind was, give me my mulya, my price. That was his mind. And they were going, hey, give, no, yes, no, yes, no. All of a sudden, okay. Why he suddenly lets go of his hands? Because his mind was no longer functioning to control his hands. And why was his mind no longer functioning to control his hands? Because it was stolen by the Madan Mohan Rup of Gaurasundara. Sri Gaurasundara Mahaprabhu ki. Sri yeah. Chaitanya Bhagavat ki. Yeah. So we'll continue tomorrow in hearing the beautiful description of this beautiful boy that Sridhar was looking at. So may we all dream about this beautiful boy. Have our minds stolen by him.